5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Ollinger was one of the original 250 employees at Facebook who retired, started driving his wife crazy. So he started podcasting and writing and doing stand-up comedy. His newest book is Reasonably Happy, The Skeptic's Guide to Achievable Contentment. Welcome to the show, Paul.
Thanks for having me, George. And for the record, I'm still driving my wife crazy.
Yeah, good. I like it. But tell us a little about your personal life, a little bit more about your work, and why you do what you do.
My personal life. Let's see. I'm 6'1", 215. I'm male pattern baldness, significant, deep down the road on the male pattern baldness. And I like to play golf. I just moved my family to Manhattan from Atlanta, Georgia. And what I do when I wake up every morning is think of ways I can create funny stuff, whether it's for the comedy stage or for my podcast or for the writing on my Substack that I've recently combined into a book called Reasonably Happy that you were so kind to just mention.
Excellent. So there's better golf in Manhattan than there is in Atlanta?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. It's funny you say that because I'm trying to figure out. Here it is, February, and I'm sitting here strategizing for my summer 2025 golf fix. How I'm going to get that? And it's, you know, in Manhattan, in Atlanta, we live 0.5 miles from the gates of our club, and in Manhattan, you know, you got to drive up to Westchester or Jersey or Long Island or something to play golf, but I'm going to try to figure that out in the next few months.
It is figure outable. I like it. All right. So the pursuit of contentment. Well, I guess I can make golf jokes. Is that a source of contentment for you?
I wouldn't say golf is a source of contentment. I'd say golf is a enjoyable way to spend one's afternoon or morning. You know, we look at the things that studies tell us create happiness. And the one thing that keeps coming back is relationships and time spent with friends. And golf is like fishing. I think I'm not a fisher person, but I think they're similar in the sense that when you're fishing, you're talking about fishing or you're talking about life while you're fishing. And fishing creates this backdrop of, we're not here to discuss politics necessarily. We're not here to discuss our relationship. We're here to fish and be together. And that's what golf is for me. It's just hanging out with buddies. You know, you're playing a sport that's frustrating. That is in itself the pursuit of the never achievable pursuit of perfection. And you're just spending time you're spending time outside with people that you love. And that's what life is all about.
Yeah. Love it. All right. So you have enormous success in the corporate world. One of the
enormous, just gigantic. It's so few people achieve what I've achieved. I am a very incredible human being. Thank you for pointing that out, George.
So you scratched out a little bit of success in the corporate world.
That's a fair way to put it. I got my piece.
but still something was missing. You were, or you were always searching for this contentment.
Yeah, I think, you know, look, something's always going to be missing. That's the nature of being human. And but the way it manifests for me was for most of my life, I fetishized wealth. I grew up in a great family, 6 kids, 2 parents that stayed together for 55 years. And we had everything we needed and more. My parents were always there. They put us through, you know, through Catholic school and then through college, and got us out into the world with no debt, and then said, hey, go figure it out, you know? But I was always, there was always this subtext of financial stress that I think for those of us raised by depression era parents, there's always this it could go away tomorrow mentality that they can't help but bring to the surface. And so, you know, that sort of was the underlying vibe in our house growing up. And I adopted this attitude that if I work really hard and get a good job and make money, then I won't ever have to worry about money. But of course, I know people with tons of money that do nothing but worry about money all the time. And so wealth and comfort and safety isn't a function just of the absolute numbers at the top of your bank statement. It's a function of those numbers relative to your needs and desires and your attitude towards money. And so when I worked at Facebook and I got the money that I had long desired, I achieved enormous success, and it was pretty enormous, actually. I mean, relative to what everybody, you know, what the average person gets a taste of in their life. I got to the point where I had enough money to do whatever I wanted to do with my life if I wasn't a jerk with the money that I did have. And it was great. I quit my job at 42. I didn't think of it as retiring. I just stopped working without a plan. Well, what happens is, you know, they say that there's a joke in Silicon Valley. What's the hardest thing about doing nothing? Knowing when to stop. Mm-hmm. So I knew when to stop when I just found myself all of a sudden going, wait a minute, what am I doing? What, like, who am I? Where's my, I didn't have work as this thing to say, well, you know, what do you do? Well, I'm the vice president of West Coast sales at Facebook, or I am a sales director at Yahoo or whatever. And when you lack that, you have to stop and go, okay, well, who am I? What do I stand for? What do I want to achieve with the time that I have? What's important to me? And so there was this existential crisis where, and it's a very, very common thing for people who retire, those who retire early, for people who sell their business or cash out, is you have this feeling of drifting and not knowing where to put yourself in your head and in the world. And it's a great privilege, but it's also a challenge, and it's something that you have to figure out.
And so you decided to, and do you feel,
well,
like
I had been, so stand-up comedy was something that I went to business school when I was 26 because I wanted to make more money. I was working in education and I was like, okay, this isn't the kind of dough that I want to make in my lifetime. And so I went back to business school because I was going to change careers, but I didn't know what I wanted to do. And I knew I wanted to make more money, blah, blah, blah. And the big surprise in business school was when I was asked to host a talent show, and I just made fun of my friends one night. And that was stand-up comedy. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is what I want to do. But I had no idea that, like, going to business school, that's what I was going to find. I was going to find this talent or this passion that I had for the arts. And I had borrowed $80,000 in 1996 dollars. That would be twice that today, right? So I had student loans. And back then, when you borrowed money, you had to pay it back. So I had to get a job. And I went into the digital media world because it was the coolest thing that I could think of doing back then. And it was this very young industry. And it worked out really, really well. I met incredible people, and I got in on the ground floor, not of a specific business necessarily, but of an industry that was about to explode. And certainly, you know, that's been the dominant burgeoning industry of our adulthoods.
So without a, You stopped working without a plan. You recognized that you needed to have some kind of pursuits, that human beings are wired for achievement. Is that fair?
Human beings are wired for engagement. Achievement, I think, and this is just me, I'm not a psychologist or anything like that, but I think there's a spectrum of orientation toward achievement. And I certainly was. I was a and by the way, I think that achievement is a form of self-soothing for many of us. That for me, going back to an early age, grades was a way that if I worked hard and got good grades, then I was okay. And that external validation was a way that we achieved okayness. And in adulthood, grades become money, become titles, become social standing. And so, yeah, we are tribal beings who have a social hierarchy, and our position thereon is something that some of us value more than others.
Yeah, I think that's well said. So your book is The Skeptic's Guide to Achievable Contentment. Is that because you felt like it's not possible? I'm too smart for this?
No, not at all. I think many of us are, you know, we find these self-help books to be self-promotional crap, and that they are by people who, you know, and the internet is full of people who are like, you got to wake up at 4 a.m. and, you know, go into your cold plunge and then, you know, juice yourself until noon, blah, blah, yeah. blah. And I'm a skeptic about that stuff. And I think that many people are, and that those solutions for people who are wired that way, you know, to get the 5 a.m. club and all that, that's great. And you know what? When I get up early and I get a lot of stuff done, I feel really good about myself. But the problem with those things is that if you don't get up at 5 a.m., then you feel like a loser. And I'm sorry, but our days require different things to address our needs of any given day. Yes, we should all eat better. Yes, we should all exercise as much as we can. Yes, we should all limit our alcohol intake, whatever. But you know what? We're also imperfect, and we have to embrace that imperfection and try to be better than we were yesterday, not compare ourselves to the gurus online who want to set some kind of what I believe to be mostly unrealistic examples or bars to try to measure yourself against.
So you have always became interested in figuring out what that was for you, appreciating that how you're wired and your instructions or whatever are different than other people's. Probably there's crossover with certain things, but not necessarily getting up at 4 a.m. and getting in the cold plunge or whatever. So, and you mentioned engagement. You talked earlier about it's our interactions with other people. That's why we like golf and fishing. So you've figured out what contentment is for you.
Well, what contentment is for me is working towards self-expression and the social stuff. And so, you know, I remember when I was working at Facebook, I call this the laptop test. It's how do you feel when you wake up in the morning and you look on your nightstand and you see your laptop? Now that was 15 years ago. So now it's your phone. How do you feel when you see your phone in the morning? Hmm. You look at that phone. Are you filled with dread? Hmm. Or are you filled with excitement and wonder about the opportunity on the other side of that? When I was working in the corporate world, I looked at that laptop and I was like, oh man, this is not going to be a fun morning. There's all that's on the other side of that is problems. And maybe that was a mindset issue for me that I could have worked through. And I think I could have. And I think I took things at work too personally, et cetera, et cetera. But for whatever, you know, I am where I am today. And when I wake up in the morning, I'm like, man, what's going to happen today? What am I going to figure out? What am I going to work on? You know, who liked my Substack? Who reposted it? What am I going to write about today? And I generally feel really excited about that. And that tells me I'm doing the things that are important to me. And for me, that's stand-up comedy and writing. For other people, that might be some other form of art or some other form of service. And when I say service, I mean not just volunteering, but like a business. You know, I lived in San Francisco 20 years ago, and I lived in this neighborhood called Coal Valley.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
And it was an amazing neighborhood for a lot of reasons, but one of the reasons is because it had everything. There was a cheese shop in my neighborhood. There was a wonderful coffee shop. There was a bar. There was a dry cleaner. Everything you needed. You could never leave this neighborhood because the people that run those shops were in service of the members of that community. And they worked hard and they put their capital at risk to serve people like me who had a lot of gratitude for that. So what I mean is when you wake up every morning, maybe your thing is cheese, man, you know, and if you're out there helping people discover the wonders of, you know, the gastronomical wonders of fermented milk, then you're serving your fellow person. Oh, and by the way, you're creating a place for yourself in the world and you're creating community for the people who come through and say, hey, I'm having this gathering this weekend. What should I do? And, you know, put some things together for me to help us learn. That's like service. That's helping your fellow human. And I think when we find ourselves doing that, then we're in line with our values, or the way we do that should be in line with our values. And yes, I love the attention of being on stage. And yes, I love it when I get 1,000 likes on my Substacks or whatever. But really, what I get off on is when people say, hey, you know that thing that you wrote? It really meant something to me. I'm going through something related to the problem that you presented in that piece. Thank you for writing it. I think that's where we feel seen and recognized and useful. And useful, I think, is a really important word for retirement, because it's this giant inflection point in our lives and our careers where we go from being important and sought out to being independent on our own and potentially alone. And there is a real risk of feeling unuseful in retirement. And that has massive implications to our happiness and mental health. And we have to find ways to be useful that are in line with our values.
That's really well said. I appreciate all of that. It's interesting to me that I have the space as a 46-year-old to be able to look at my laptop or my phone and be excited about the work that I'm doing, which was not always the case. And I appreciate that I'm in a financial position to be able to do that. And I also believe that everybody is capable of maybe not doing it wholesale, maybe not retiring from my work at XYZ company and starting a bakery, but I can start baking a little bit here and there and start adding those things into my life that do make me happy. So it's incrementally working towards that versus I'm just going to throw the baby out with the bathwater. What do you think about that?
Well, there's two things. What you're talking about is autonomy, not wealth necessarily. Mm. And so I think this is a big distinction that deserves our contemplation. You know, watching the Super Bowl, watching, you know, everything you see on TV is the celebration of wealth and jewelry and materialism and all that stuff, that's not the same as financial independence or as professional independence as you just described it. And that you only achieve that through one of two ways. One is working so hard that you make a ton of money, and at a certain point, you have the money in the bank to do what you want to do. And the second is living within your means and spending so little that you get to save and take advantage of compound interest, so that at a certain point, you have the opportunity to work part-time on your own or full-time on your own. What makes me sad when I read about Gen Y and younger millennials who are, you know, not working as hard in their 30s as they might be for whatever reason, some of which is an attitude-based choice, is that the work I did in my 30s is why I have autonomy in my 50s. And man, I can't imagine. I know what's happened to my brain in the last 20 years. And I think our ability to deal and put up with the kind of things you have to deal with in the corporate world, they atrophy very, very quickly after a certain age. And being independent is massively valuable. And so, you know, I don't know what your age of your listeners are, but I would encourage people in your 30s to think about who you want to be 20 years down the road, because it's coming. And you want to be in a position to be your own person.
It's so interesting to me. It's like, why, what is it that catalyzes change in our lives? Because it's so easy just to get caught up in the currents of life and to be going through the motions we've always sort of gone through, but you're not happy now. You're not automatically going to be happy in the future just because you are older. So why not start thinking those thoughts now?
Well, it's hard to. Arthur Brooks wrote a book. Gosh, what's the name of that book? Do you know what I'm talking about?
It's familiar, but I'm not going to be able to.
I'm Googling it. There's a great book, From Strength to Strength by Arthur Brooks. And there's some religious stuff in there that I'm not super crazy about or in agreement with. However, he talks about the change of our minds, the chemical change to our brains that happens between like 30 and 50. And we go from being like doers to being thinkers. And it's not you. It's I'm frozen on my screen. Can you hear me, by the way?
I can.
Okay, there I am. I'm back. The changes in our brains are real. And you go from, and it's also that, you know, when you get out of college or business school or law school or whatever, you know, you finally have achieved what you thought you were going to achieve all those years. And then you go and you're a lawyer for 5 or 6 years. And then a lot of people doing that job or whatever job go, you know what? I don't think I really love this the way I thought I was going to love it. And then even if you stay on that path and 12 years in, you're a partner and that's exciting for a little while. And then you're like, wait a minute, I got to do this until I'm 60. Like, it becomes pretty overwhelming. And you have to ask yourself, well, are the things that you're good at when you're 32 the same things you're going to be good at when you're 55? No, you're going to be good at other things, but you're not going to want to grind at 55 the way you grind in your earlier years. You got kids, you know, you're older, you know, you want to put in time. You still want to be relevant, but like work till 1 or 2 in the morning. Screw that, man. That's not the way to live. That's not sustainable. So you got to find a way you can still engage and be useful without trying to do what you were doing, you know, decades earlier.
Do you have a writing habit as a writer and a stand-up comedian, but also just as a human being who is a thoughtful guy from a journaling perspective? Tell me a little bit about that.
I don't journal. I get up in the morning and I try to write in the morning, and I do write in the morning. And I don't have, you know, write 700 words a day kind of thing. My practice could be more disciplined. However, you know, I just published this book of 46 different essays that I picked from the last 8 years of writing. And I was, and most of it is from the last 4 years. And I was pretty happy with the fact that, oh, I have been doing the work on a regular basis. Even if I publish on my sometimes I'll publish on my Substack once a week, and sometimes I'll go 3 weeks without publishing and I get scared and I'm like, ah, I got to write something. But it's like, you know, and these are 750 to 1100 word essays. They're not, they take 5 minutes to read. They're not novels. But if you do that week in and week out, it adds up, you know? And I went, I wrote a manuscript over the over, I don't know, from probably 2000 and like 2014 to like 2019. I worked on a manuscript and I finished it and I had a book agent and I shopped it around, and I don't want to brag, George, but I got rejected by some of the best publishers in the world.
Nice.
And so, you know, Penguin said no, and they said no very, very clearly. So, and so I was like, you know what? That's okay. I don't, you know, a book is a product, and sometimes your product isn't what the market wants, and that's okay. But I still love to write. And so I decided I'm just going to start writing these essays because that's in my control. I don't have to write a book proposal and have an idea and think 3 years in the future and think what's going to be, what are people going to want to talk about 3 years in the future? I don't know, but I love to write and I like to take ideas and grapple with them and try to, I like when something's bothering me, when I'm really mad about something, I try to look at that and go, why is this bothering me so much? And the way I work through it is by trying to write jokes about it. My wife and I and kids have, well, there's two dogs in the house. I'm not a dog person. Okay, go ahead and hate me. In America, you might as well throw somebody in jail. They tell you that I don't dislike the dogs. I love the dogs. They're sweet animals. I just don't want to share a bed with them. And I don't want to, you know, I don't want to see pee on my new carpet. That's, you know, and so I'm trying to grapple with that. And the theory that I have is you can either have dogs or you can have nice stuff, but you can't have both. So pick which one you're going to go with. And, you know, and it's, I don't have that written yet, but that's the one I'm grappling with right now. And so I find writing to be therapeutic. All this stuff that I do, the writing, the podcasting, it's therapy for me. It's a reminder for me. This conversation we're having right now is a reminder for me to be grateful, because this is all going to be over soon enough. And all the worrying and all the whining that we do to each other is for naught. And so if I can engage in exercises that lead me to laughter and keep me from being just an uptight grump for an hour during a day, well, that's worthwhile.
I love it. Well, Paul, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you? Where can they find your podcast? Where can they find your Substack? And where can they find your stand-up comedy? And where can they get their copy of Reasonably Happy, The Skeptic's Guide to Achievable Contentment?
Oh my goodness, there's so many things there. I would say, well, if you got links in the show notes, words.paulollinger.com, and my last name is OLLINGER. It should probably just be like Comedy Paul, but it's not. Words.paulollinger.com is my Substack. There's links there to all those other wonderful things. I'm also on Instagram and all the other good stuff. The book's available on Amazon. And it's called, and the podcast, wherever you get podcasts, both the book and the podcast are, as you say, Reasonably Happy.
Excellent. Well, if you enjoyed as much as I did, show Paul your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to words.paulollinger.com. Check out all the stuff Paul's been talking about there. Find Reasonably Happy wherever you listen to your podcasts, and then pick up your copy of Reasonably Happy, The Skeptic's Guide to Achievable Contentment on Amazon. I will link all of those in the notes of the show. Thanks again, Paul.
Thank you, George. I appreciate it.
Till next time, remember, do your part by doing your best.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
Prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Life is unpredictable, But preparing for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. They offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to PolicyGenius.com. That's PolicyGenius.com.
With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.